Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, good work. It's a good new year. My name is Adam Purcell. I am the teaching pastor here. We are really glad that you are here with us this morning, whether it's your first time or you've been here lots of times. We are very, very glad that you are here to celebrate Jesus with us. If you're here and it really is your first time, you're actually here on a pretty awesome Sunday. And so every single year we do kind of the same thing to begin the year. So typically on the second Sunday of January, we have our Vision Sunday. And so what that means for me this past week and for us today is that we're going to be looking back at some things that God did in our midst in 2015 that we want to celebrate because we think they were awesome. And we'll talk a little bit about maybe some ways that we can take steps forward individually and corporately going into 2016. I wanted to also let you know what's coming up because it's kind of the same every year, but we switched one thing around. So typically what happens very next Sunday is what really is everyone's favorite sermon series from what I understand, and that is the Now Playing series, where we talk about movies that came out through the holiday season. And I haven't exactly figured out what makes this series so loved. I think it's two things. One, we're talking about movies, and that just feels cool. Two, we give you candy. And if you would have told me when we first came up with this idea, and I'm sure someone else thought of it before us, if someone would have told me how excited a room full of adults would get about a free 50-cent candy bar on a Sunday morning, I would have did not believe them. But people lose their minds. And I'm one of the people. I lose my mind. I'm like, free candy. This is so great. Although I'm on a diet. So dang it, resolutions. Anyways, so that's going to start on February 7th, right? So that gives us 3 weeks between today and February 7th, which typically in February, we would do our Wide Open World mission series. And so this year in January, we kind of flip the order there. And so starting next Sunday, we're going to spend 3 weeks talking about what God is at work doing all over the world to make the name of his son Jesus famous and how we are hoping to partner in that. And so that will start this coming Sunday. We'll be looking at several passages through the book of Acts, and it will culminate, and this has been in your listening guide over the last maybe 4 weeks or so, on January 31st, which with our Wide Open World missions offering. And what that means for us is basically everything that's given to us that week, whether you want it to be or not, we're just going to give it all away. Honestly, anytime during the year, if you put Wide Open World or WOW on anything you give to us, we'll know that that's what that's for, and we'll give it away to missions. But that particular Sunday, we're giving every single thing away for the sake of furthering the cause of God's kingdom taking root in Central Ohio, the Midwest, and to the ends of the earth. And so having said that, we're going to jump into Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28 is where we're going to be today. Some of you have like actual book Bibles. That's crazy. I love those things. So you can open that to Philippians. If you have one, you probably know where it is. Maybe you have a mobile device. You can thumb there, or the words will be on the screens as well. But before we jump into the Word of God, let me pray for us, and then we'll jump into God's Word together. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this great day that you've given to us. God, I'm thankful for snow. I like snow, and I'm glad that you're giving us snow today. But Father, most of all, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here to worship you, to celebrate you, to declare to you that you are worth our time, our song, our declaration, and just our energy. So Father, our hope, my hope today is that every single one of us will encounter you by your Holy Spirit, that we will be deeply moved to take steps forward in our relationship with your Son, Jesus the Christ. And God, we can't do that, but we need your help. And Father, as your Holy Spirit encounters each of us, God, you can do anything in us. And so we ask, Father, that you would do great and extraordinary things in our hearts today, and that you would help us to be expecting you and hoping for you to do great and extraordinary things in our hearts today. We pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So one of the 20th century's greatest theologians has this kind of famous quote, and I think this is from like 1968 or so, and he said, "You can't always get what you want." And some of you may be aware of this theologian. His name was Mick Jagger. He was in a really, a band that wasn't really that big of a deal. It's called the Rolling Stones, if you haven't heard of them. And so he, great theologian, that's a joke. It's, New Year, okay, So Mick Jagger said, "You can't always get what you want," which I love that my first message point for the 2016 year is a quote of Mick Jagger. Maybe that's a bad sign for the year. I don't know. But he did say that if you try sometimes, you just might find that you get what you need Oh yeah, right. And so what I was thinking about as I was preparing for today and Vision Sunday and lots of kind of facts and content is how can I help us connect our hearts to all these great things that God did in 2015 and all these wonderful things that we're hoping and praying that God is going to do in 2016. And I read a book recently that reminded me something that I think I already knew was true and you probably know is true. And the book reminded me that all of us, for better or for worse, are really interested in what we want. And as the Holy Spirit works in us, maybe we become more and more interested in what God wants, and maybe we become more and more interested in what other people want. But more or less, every single one of us wakes up in the morning thinking, what do I want? And how do I get those things? And the new year, I think, has a way of amplifying that in us. We do this really strange thing. So what happens is, on January 1st, we have a big celebration because the earth made one more lap around the sun. And we say, yay, new year! And for some reason, the fact that we've all completed a lap together, we're going to change the number on our calendars, it makes us think about what we want. It makes us think about the things that we want that we don't currently have, and then we resolve. We make resolutions to change all these things in our daily habits so that we can get the thing that we want. And the great news for you today is that this whole message, and really every message is, this is kind of true, but this message especially, my goal today is to help you get what you want. Like 100%, that is my goal, is to help you get what you want. So we should all be like really on board, like tell me more, I will. And so let's look in Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to read the first part of verse 27. And so Paul, he's writing from jail, he's writing to the church in Philippi, probably around 60 AD, so not quite 2,000 years ago. He says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." And as I was studying that this week, I was struck by the reality that if you really had a conversation with me and we sat down at Wigan Street Coffee Shop, because I love that place, and you said, "Adam, what do you want?" I think something that I could genuinely say is, I want this. I want God to look at my manner of life. I want other people perhaps to be able to see that my manner of life is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Like, that's the next thing in your listening guide. He says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I was thinking about that, I was like, oh man, that seems impossible, right? I mean, because you think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if you're new to church or you don't necessarily know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is, the gospel is good news. It's the news that God loves the world. He loves the world, you and I, so, so very much that he sent his only son, God in the flesh, Jesus the Christ, to live a perfect life, to be arrested, tortured, executed on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin to God. And then on the third day, he walked out of his tomb, conquering death, and he invites us to trust him for free. It's a pretty good deal. We trust him for free, and when we trust him, he saves us, he forgives us, we become adopted sons and daughters into the forever family of God. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you think about, okay, so a guy died, and I'm supposed to live worthy of that, but not just a guy, like the guy who was also perfect and the guy who was also God. And so the message of the gospel, this guy dying for me and for the world, I'm supposed to live a life that's worthy of that? That seems like a tall order, but it also seems like something that I want. I want so much to live a life that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we take that step into faith, and if you haven't done this yet, the scriptures say that we call upon the name of the Lord. And in essence, you can say, you are admitting only Jesus can save me. I can't save me. That guy can't save me. Religion can't save me. Moral improvement can't save me. You're saying back to God, I confess to you that I need Jesus, that only Jesus can save me. And when we do that, we get salvation for a free gift. And as I was studying this week, honestly, what I thought I was going to say to you is, it really is impossible, but it's a process. And I think it is true that we're never going to, get to the point where we say, ha, I've arrived. I am now perpetually living a life that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't think that we ever get to that point, but I think we do have the opportunity, and we'll see here in a moment in the scriptures that Paul tells us a couple ways that we can move that direction, that we can increasingly live lives that are worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. I think you want that. And so let's look into the scriptures together and let's figure out how Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells us that we can maybe move forward and take steps in living a life that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here in a minute, I'm going to draw for you. If you're new or if you haven't seen me draw yet, it's a special treat for you because I'm so talented. And so we look forward in Philippians 1, 27 and 28. And let's read the next part. We'll stop kind of in the middle of verse 28. And so Paul said, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent," remember he's in jail, so he can't come see anybody right now, "whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are," and what we're going to do, you're going to notice three things that he says, and those are going to be the next 3 points in your listening guide. If you like to guess about the blanks, I like to do that when I'm not up here. I like to guess about the blanks so you can totally know the blanks. "So I may hear of you that you are, one, standing firm in one spirit, two, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and three, not frightened in anything by your opponents." And so if you read the first part and you're like, oh man, live a life worthy of the gospel, that seems hard and I'm not really sure that I know how that I would go about doing that, Paul says, I've got answers for you. Here are three things you can do that will help you begin to live a life that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're just going to take them in turn, and we're going to use these to talk a little bit about 2015 and 2016 and just together strive to become more like Jesus wants us to be. So the first one, standing firm in one spirit. And we live in kind of a visual culture now, and so I'm going to give you guys icons for each of these. And so standing firm in one spirit, we're going to call this number one. And a way that you might think about this is listen to the words of Jesus. And we're going to draw our person who is standing firm in one spirit. And since the idea here with standing firm in one spirit is listening to the word of God, we're going to give him really big goofy ears, right? And so this is our icon for standing firm in the spirit. It's a big goofy eared, and his nose and mouth, it's a Picasso. That's what I was going for. And so we're listening to the words of Jesus. And Paul says, okay, so why would he say stand firm in one spirit? And I think implicit in that is this idea that it can be hard, right? Like, it can be hard with the sin in our own hearts and the way that our culture shapes us and moves us and pushes us. It can feel pretty difficult just to stand firm, right? Because we made this profession that only Jesus can save me. And Paul is here saying that part of how we live a life worthy of the gospel is we stand firm. Like, we stand firm. We're not moved by anything away from the hope, the only hope that we have that we find in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And honestly, as I was thinking about ways that we do this corporately, this right now, it is kind of that, right? Like, you make your initial profession of faith, you spend time studying the Word of God, you spend private time in prayer, and then you come together corporately, and this time that we do together, we're listening to the words of Jesus. Hopefully, if the people who speak are doing this well, we're standing firm together, right? We're united. And so I think that the problem that a lot of us have, and hopefully we'll be able to move forward from this, is I think some of us, and I don't know if you were taught this or if we just kind of default to this, I think a lot of us have the sense that number one here, the first thing that Paul said, is kind of the end-all, be-all of the Christian life. You know, God says, hey, you're a sinner, but I love you. Just to confess to me that only Jesus can save you. Call upon the name of my son Jesus, and then you're saved, and then all I want you to do, you're going to have 50, 30, 10, 100 more years, whatever you've got. All I need you to do is just cling. Just stand firm, and that's all I want. And for some of us, that's kind of the message we've gotten, but that's not true. And Paul teaches directly against this in this passage. We're not called merely to stand firm, although we are called to stand firm in unity. And so we get to the second thing that Paul says, and he said, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And so our icon here, we're going to have two people because they're striving side by side, and we're going to make them hold hands because that sounds fun. They're side by side. And the word strive, it's, you know, striving side by side, it's seen, like S-Y-N, like where we get the word synonyms. So that's where the together part comes from. And athleo, where we get the word for athlete. And so Paul, you could translate that strive together, fight, not against each other, but fight together, train like for an athletic contest together. And so I'm going to give these guys headbands, new year, new you sort of stuff. And so they've got really cool halo headband thingamajigs. And so our phrase for this with this icon is we are called to enact the words of Jesus. Paul says, strive together. So stand firm. Yeah, do that. And then strive, not by yourself. Don't do this solo. Strive together. And so what are some ways that we can do that? What are some ways that we can strive together for the faith of the gospel? And we're going to talk about three of them. And so the first that we'll talk about, if I can find it, is life groups. Now, Nick mentioned in the welcome that in two Sundays, on January 24th, we are going to launch our spring term of life groups. Life groups, if you're new here, they're pretty much how we do everything, and we cannot encourage you strongly enough to get into a life group together, because it's one of the ways that we try to provide for you as a community a way to strive together with other people so that you can get what you want. And what is it that you want? You want to live a life that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Stand firm, yes. And standing firm, you could probably do by yourself. But striving together isn't something that you can do by yourself. So how do we strive together? Well, I think the first thing that's an obvious example is to live in community with one another. Some stats. I'm a former math teacher, so I love stats. And so for some of you, this is like your nightmare. Like it's math and church all at one time, and it's awful. And if that's you, I'm sorry. And so some stats on life groups. So the fall term, we had 16 life groups. We had 256 people in those life groups, which means that 80% of us, 80% of the people who come on a regular Sunday, we take kind of our average for the fall, and we take that number and we divide them and we get an average. That's pretty good. We're excited about that. That means that if you meet five people, four of them are probably in a life group. That's awesome, right? But what that means is if you meet five people, there's one of you who you haven't quite connected to a group yet. And I cannot encourage you strongly enough to jump into a life group. It is how we do so many things here. And so this coming spring, we are jumping up to, depending on how many college groups we end up having, this might be 19 instead of 20, but we're probably going to have 20 life groups, right? One that I want to highlight for you is we're going to have a brand new group that's kind of designed for old people like you and I, that's going to be on Saturday mornings at 9. I know a lot of times people say, I want to be in a group, but none of the times work in my schedule. And so we are adding as many as we can. We have Sunday after church, two on Sunday night, nothing on Monday yet. Sorry, we're working on that. Tuesday night, Wednesday night, two on Thursday night, nothing on Friday yet. Sorry, working on that. And then Saturday, we have a men's group that meets at 7:30 in the morning. And then we have another kind of mixed group of people that meets at 9 on Saturday mornings. And so there's all sorts of opportunities for you to jump into a group, and it's a really, really big deal. So how do we become more like Jesus? How do we live a life worthy of the gospel? We stand firm. We strive together. First thing we do in striving together is we get into life groups. Second thing is we serve. And so right now, whether you know it or not, there are people on that side of the building, upstairs and down, who are striving together for the faith of the gospel. And how are they doing that? Well, they connected with us, they filled out a connection card, and they said, hey, I'd be interested in serving. And we said, hey, how about LifePoint Kids as an example? And they said, okay, I'll try that. And so we background check them, because we background check all the people who work in LifePoint Kids. And then they shadow, they learn how to do what we're asking them to do, and then they're in the nursery holding a baby and praying for them. Or they're in our 12 to 24 month nursery and they're chasing babies and praying for themselves, right? maybe they're doing that. Or they're in our 2 and 3 year old room and they're beginning to teach young kids about the great name of Jesus. Or maybe they're in our 4 and 5 year old preschool room and they're sharing the gospel, striving side by side with other adults who have committed to serve. Right now it's once a month in LifePoint Kids to point kids to Jesus Christ. Then you've got school age. And I will be passionate about this. I think when I'm 70, I'll still be passionate about this. But right now I've got three kids who are over there. And I'm pretty passionate about them being pointed to Jesus by people more than Molly and I. That's really, really important. And you have the opportunity to serve in LifePoint Kids. And maybe that's not your thing. Maybe you'd want to serve in Connections. Right now, what we're trying to do is create this environment where people are pointed to Jesus. We don't think that we're awesome. We think Jesus is awesome. And one of the ways that we help point people to Jesus is making this environment as welcoming as possible. That doesn't happen on accident. So we have this amazing group of volunteers that, again, right now, serving once a month, and they show up early, they gather together, they pray together, they get this space ready for all of us to come here, and they smile, and they shake your hand, and they say hi, and they give you something, and say, hey, we're so glad that you're here. And what are they doing? They're striving together, and it's awesome. And I think one of the things that you hear, especially in evangelical churches like this one might be appropriately labeled as such, is you hear this comment like, oh, well, I don't want to serve because I just want to be fed. I'm going to miss out on what's going on in here. And honestly, I want you to love this. I want you to love the music. I want you to love whoever is teaching. I want you to love it. And I want you to feel like you are benefiting spiritually from this. But what happens in our minds, I think, is we think that the only way to live a life that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ is by doing number one. You listen to the words of Jesus. You have your private Bible time. You have your private prayer time. You come and listen to some guy talk about Jesus, and you listen to the words of Jesus, and we think this is it. And for some reason, we think that even though the scriptures clearly say the opposite, that in acting the words of Jesus, by striving together, whether it's in life group or especially serving, that's like missing out, or somehow you're not going to grow spiritually by serving with other people who are striving to point people to Jesus. That's not how it works. This is a critical part of you getting what you want, which is to get closer to living a life that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you have opportunities to serve. And now if you're sitting there and you're wondering, okay, well, that's all well and good, but I'm more focused on the outside community. Like, it's great that you have people here, serving people here, but what about the people who aren't here on a Sunday morning? How do you serve them? I've got a great answer for you. We do that through life groups. Not that we never do something that's all of us together serving in the community, but more or less, if you're asking, how does this church serve the greater community? The answer is we do that through life groups. One that I was really excited about this past term, that is actually my group did it, and it was great, right? So we connected with a new ministry to town called Touchpoint. They're on the west side. They're trying to serve a more distressed economically piece of our community, and I think they're going to do an awesome job at it. And I said, I want to try to partner with him. And so I met with the people who run that. I said, what could we do? And we came up with this idea that maybe was good, maybe was bad, but we said, we're just going to do it. And so we had them print up little invite cards, and we walked, kind of prayer walked the West End and knocked on people's doors, which was a little bit terrifying, but we did it. And usually people would like open the blinds and see that it was someone they didn't know and just close the blinds. And so we'd put the thing like in the crack in the door and walk away. And it was an invitation to a free meal that we were going to prepare and serve at Touchpoint, which is down on the West End. And we just wanted to invite them, right? And so I'm thinking this is going to be awesome, and we passed these things out, and I was so proud of our group, and we prepared all this really good food. We get our touch point on like a Tuesday night, and we're like, okay, and we're waiting, and then we're like, well, I guess we should eat, and so then we ate, and then three random high school kids were walking by, and one of the guys in our group happened to be outside, and he's like, hey, you want free food? They're like, yeah, and so they came in, and so these three random high school kids who we didn't invite came, and so we got to talk with them a little bit, and so we did it. And it felt a little bit like a failure, maybe. And then probably a week later, I got an email from Dan, the guy who runs the place. And he said, Adam, as your small group may know, one of the ministries of Touchpoint is to provide mentoring for couples that are in need of help with communication and conflict resolution issues within their marriages. Barb and I have been at this for the past 5 years. This year alone, and this was probably in mid-October that he wrote this, this year alone, we have worked with over 40 couples since January 1st. Last night, we met with a new couple who are struggling in their relationship. While you may feel like the outreach into the West Side was not very productive, we greatly appreciate the efforts of your small group. Your group needs to be aware that in the distribution of flyers and invitations, one resident saw a need to share her information with a friend. This friend was the wife of the couple we met with last night. The couple has been together for 24 years but have drifted apart. There are many layers of issues, but we saw hope last night. Please keep R and S in your prayers over the next few weeks. Typically, we meet people where they are in life, share tools, develop a relationship, and eventually, before we are finished, after about 5 sessions, we share Jesus, the true healer of all wounds. Last night, we were able to pray with this couple at the end of the session. This is a couple that is unchurched, but she in particular saw the way God had brought them to meet Barb and me. Thanks to you and your small group for daring to reach out to our community. And I can't tell you how much that letter encouraged me, because, I mean, you heard him say it, like, you might have felt like it was a waste of time or unproductive or whatever, and I had a ball. Like, we had a great time. Our group, it's a great group. I love my group, and we had a ball playing games and eating the food that we made, but it didn't really feel like we had accomplished what we were trying to accomplish. And then we get this email, and it just reminded me how big God is, and he's interested in saving me, he's interested in saving you, and he's really interested in saving everyone else in this community and all over the world. And one of the ways that you and I can get what we want, which is to live lives that are worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is to stand firm and to strive together, to train and to work together, side by side, for the faith of the gospel. Not for our name, not for LifePoint's name or whatever, but for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, number 3. Missions. And so there are, really we talk about 4 ways. I'm not going to talk about the 4th way, but you can go on our website, which is awesome, lifepointohio.com, and look at the 4th one if you want. And so I'm going to talk about 3. And so how can you, as you're seeking to strive side by side for the faith of the gospel, partner in or work in missions? Missions being us working together to proclaim the name of Jesus here and everywhere else. And so the first is to pray. And I want to highlight 2 things for you here, and I'll write them down because I know it's like this is just tons of information, I feel. And so there were 2 things in 2015 that happened that were pretty exciting. And so the first is we launched Tuesday 10-2. Now, if you're not aware, so every single Tuesday at 10:02, we update the page on our missions page on our website. And what it does is it gives you a guided way to pray over something specific that our church is connected to for missions, both locally and globally. And so what we encourage all of you to do, and maybe you haven't done this yet, maybe this is part of your New Year's resolution, is set an alarm on your phone at 10:02 on every single Tuesday and go check the page and just spend maybe 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever it is, and just read through it and just pray over the prayer requests that we list. And that's a really, really valuable way for you to strive together with this church that we are a part of for the sake of God's kingdom advancing throughout the world. The second thing that launched in 2015 that I thought was pretty cool is we now have a prayer team that meets during life group terms, and they meet an hour before the service starts upstairs in the meeting room. Now, when we concocted this idea of a prayer team, I was pretty amped about it, and I thought, I didn't think it would be big, but I thought it would be bigger than it was. And so let me tell you what you would see if you were to sneak into the meeting room during life group term and just kind of observe the prayer meeting. What you would see is 2 or 3 people, all of whom are college students, praying for you, for this church, for our community, for missions all around the world. That's what you would see. And I don't know if I was naive to think that some people older than 21 would be interested in a prayer meeting, but no one was. And so if you're here and you're older than 21 or younger, we want you to come too. Man, show up. And you don't have to come every Sunday. It's super chill. Like they'll send you, give you an email, or you'll be on an email list. You'll get prayer requests that you can pray for whenever you want. And every now and again, you can just pop in and spend 30 minutes praying with some college kids. That'd be pretty cool. Maybe you've got some wisdom that you'd like to invest into them. Maybe that they've got some wisdom that you can learn from them. And so I just want to encourage all of us to be a part, or at least be interested in this prayer team, because it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And so that happens starting, I guess, the 31st of January, an hour before the first service, whenever that is. If you have questions, you can email us. We have answers. And so that's the first thing. Take part, strive together. Missions, we can pray together. Second thing, we go. And so in 2015, pretty pumped about this, we had 80 people go on a mission trip. That's pretty awesome. We had 80 different people go on mission trips in 2015. Now, the really cool thing is, one of those 80 is someone that we lovingly call number one, and we call her V. I don't know her name. Now, V is our first long-term missionary. She is staying somewhere for more than a week, like years and years is the plan. And so V is someone that I pray for on a regular basis. Again, I don't know her name. I know that she's in Central Asia. Now, why don't we know her name? Because where she is in Central Asia, it's dangerous. People might kill her if they knew what she was really doing while she is there. And so what we are praying for as a church is that over the next 10 years, God would allow us to send 100 people on long-term mission trips. Long-term mission trips. So more than a week, probably more like a year or two or three or four, which is why we lovingly call V number one. And that happened in 2015. We sent V somewhere into Central Asia in 2015. And so anyone can do this. The way our denomination is structured, they love retired people. If you're retired and have like 30 years of awesomeness in terms of skills and knowledge that you've built up, and you're like, well, we could live anywhere. Okay, we'll live anywhere. Live somewhere on the mission field. If you're in the middle of your career, but you just know God has called you to go somewhere far, far away for a long period of time, okay, do that. If you're in college or younger, or you're kind of at the very beginning of your career, again, be open to that possibility that God might call you to go somewhere, maybe safe, maybe dangerous, but he might call you to go someplace far, far away. So we pray, we go, and you can still go on short-term trips. Short-term trips are awesome. Third thing that I'm going to talk about is we send. And we send primarily through giving financially. We send other people when we can't go or just aren't able to go do those things. And so last year, and again, I'm a former math teacher, so numbers nerd, and I'm going to write these up here because that's really low. Hopefully that won't confuse you. So last year, we gave $43,581 and some change from this campus to missions causes all over the world. And so again, I love numbers, I love math, and so if you're wondering, okay, break that down for me, that's basically $120 a day. So this campus alone, not counting our Lewis Center campus, and here pretty soon on Easter, Kale, some of you know Kale is gonna launch the Delaware campus, so on Easter we'll have three campuses in Life Point Church. So this campus alone, if you go through a random Tuesday and you're like, huh, what did my church do for missions today? At minimum, in 2015, you could say, well, we gave $120. I mean, we just gave it away to somewhere else so that they could tell people about Jesus. Right now, there's some flooding in St. Louis. Our denomination has tons of people there with semi-trucks and, you know, chainsaws and all the stuff that you need to do disaster relief. And our giving goes to help support things like that. They're just going to help people when disasters strike, and they're going to bring the message of hope and Christ with them. And so I was really, really excited about that. Now 2016, and so I should say this includes our regular giving, we just give away something every week, and then our WOW giving, which I mentioned in the intro that we have our WOW missions offering. So this year, if our WOW offering just stays the same, which means that everyone who gave last year decides, I don't really feel like giving more to missions, I'll give the same. And if no one new gives anything, then what that would mean is that we will be right around 72,000 for the year in terms of partnering with church plants and giving away things to missions and disaster relief and stuff and whatnot. And so that is more or less $200 a day. Every single day this year. That's the plan. That's what's in the budget, and I don't know what the WOW offering is going to be. I'm pretty bummed about that. I think that's pretty awesome because we're a new church. We're not even 3 years old yet, and this is just our campus. I mean, our church overall, it's something like, it's like 4,000 a month that we're giving away or something crazy like that. It's pretty awesome. Actually, so 565 a day is what our church did last year. I have it written down. So I'm pumped about that. Like, I think that is awesome, and I'm so excited that we get to be a part of what God is doing all over the world. And when I say we, I probably don't do this enough. This is we, right? I'm not giving that much financially to this church. That's you guys. And so I want to say thank you for being so faithful to give regularly, whether for you that's weekly or monthly or whatever that is, and then, you know, giving above and beyond that to things like our WOW offering. Then I probably don't thank you guys enough for how extraordinarily faithful you are to give to this church so that we can do this on Sunday mornings and tell people about Jesus here in Mount Vernon, but we can also do stuff like that where every single day we're sending $200 somewhere so that someone can hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I was sitting here and I was singing and I was thinking, you know, I was kind of thinking about this, I had this realization that I thought was really awesome, and I want to share it with you. So, you know, we want to send people, right? And this and money, and it's great. Circling back to that, what kind of dollar amount do you think the prayers of the saints are worth? Like, let's say you decide to just pray once a week for missions. That's 52 days. Is your prayer worth $200? Is it worth $20? Is it worth, and the answer is, we don't know, but I'm betting it's worth more than $200. And so imagine what we could see God do if we committed to just do the stuff that gets us what we want, because we all want to be like Jesus, right? And that's what we want. We want to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we listen, we enact through being in life groups, through serving, through missions. Our prayers are worth more than we'll ever know, probably more than $200 a day. But we're also giving to support God's mission advancing throughout the world. What a great opportunity. So the third thing that Paul says is not frightened by anything in your opponents. And so we're going to call that trusting the words of Jesus. And our picture, we've got someone, oops, they're scared. Ah! And perhaps there's like a spider down here or something. So that's your icon for not frightened by anything. And so to close today, because this is more of an attitude, like we're not frightened in anything, and the idea there is that we're going to be doing things that will have real opposition or at least perceived opposition. And Paul's saying, hey, I get it. Sometimes it's scary. Don't be frightened by anything. We need to be doing this stuff, listening to the words of Jesus by standing united, standing firm together, enacting the words of Jesus through striving, fighting together for the faith of the gospel. He says, hey, don't be scared. And so my challenge, my additional New Year's resolution for you, if you're willing to receive one, is this. This year, do something you're afraid of. Kind of scary, right? Did you start thinking about some stuff? What if everyone in this room committed this year in order that you could get what you want, which is to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What if we all committed to do at least one thing that we're scared of, afraid to do it? And I don't know what that is for you. You've got some examples up here, right? I mean, maybe for you, this whole church thing is brand new, and you're like, I was terrified just to come, and I'm scared to come back. This was kind of heavy, dude. Okay, well, maybe your thing is come back. Maybe that's your thing. maybe you've heard us talk about life groups a lot, and you're like, I don't know, I'm kind of scared. My schedule's pretty packed, and what if I don't like them? What if they don't like me? And it's scary. Maybe that's your thing. Maybe you've kind of put off serving. You don't want to serve, and you're kind of afraid of how it'll impact your family life or your schedule, or you're going to miss this time, and for some reason you think that you have to be here in this time for you to grow spiritually, which is not biblical, but maybe you think that, and it scares you that you're not going to grow like you want to grow because you're over there and not over here. Maybe God is calling you to go long-term somewhere, or short-term somewhere on a mission trip, and that scares you. You don't know where the money's going to come from. You don't know how you're going to get your time off from work. You don't really feel adequate to do anything of value. I mean, what do you know, right? How could you help them over there? Maybe you're going to start sharing the gospel regularly with your neighbors or your coworkers or your friends in the community, the people that your kids are on ball teams with. That's scary. I don't know what your scary thing is, but I would love to be a part of a church where we're always doing scary stuff. Because we want more than anything to live lives that are worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think you do too. And the only way we get that is by first standing firm and reminding ourselves every day that we want more than anything to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then committing in our hearts, resolving now that we're going to do scary stuff. Scary stuff that allows us to strive together for the faith of the gospel. And so I hope that you take me up on it. And I would love to hear some stories. Tell me some stories. You can fill it out on the connection card. Let's talk about this. Let's be a church that tells stories about all the scary stuff. We did because we love Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here together with you. God, we know that you're with us everywhere we go, and yet there's something so great about gathering here to worship you through song, to sing to you, to listen to your word, and God, this morning to be challenged to do something that's scary, that we're afraid of. So Father, I pray that you would help us, that you would help us to be brave, to remember that we can trust the words of Jesus, that he's going to be with us no matter where we go, and that we can always be safe in him, even when we're doing dangerous stuff. God, I'm thankful for every person who is here. God, you know their hearts, and God, you love them. Father, I pray that you would put it in us that we truly, more than anything, want to live lives worthy of the gospel of Jesus. And that you, by your Holy Spirit and the grace that you so freely give to us, would make us like your Son. And God, help us. Help us to do scary stuff. We pray all of this in your Son's holy name. Amen. Well, guys, we're going to sing one more song, so stand, please.